उद्धरेत् आत्मनात्मानम्
उद्धरेत् आत्मनात्मानम्
आत्मानम्
अवसादये
आत्मैव हि आत्मनो बन्धु आत्मैव रिपुरात्मनः
Yesterday I was saying that in this festival we should have Krishna Katha, not talking about other things. So now we're going to talk about the mind. And someone might protest. No, let's talk about Krishna. Well, Krishna Katha is of two kinds. Of course there are many kinds, but there are two main categories that Srila Prabhupada described. Krishna Vishayak Katha, in which the subject matter is Krishna, and Krishnasya Katha, that which is spoken by Krishna. So this Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha, it's spoken by Krishna. And it gives us the knowledge that helps us to appreciate discussions about Krishna. Yesterday, Panchatattva Prabhu was telling me that when he was reading the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, he felt strongly fixed in Sambandha Gyan, in knowledge, or at least he was saying, in knowledge of the body being different from the self. This is elaborately described in one particular section of the seventh canto. Who can say what that section is? Hiranyakashipu. Well, that's good. That's a good start, but you have to tell a little bit more. Hiranyakashipu giving instruction. Alright, I'll fill in for you. Hiranyakashipu, on the death of Hiranyaksha, instructed their relatives, the dead Hiranyaksha's relatives, and the still living, but not to be living much longer. Hiranyakashipu's their relatives about the temporality of the body. And he particularly told the story of a king who had been slain in battle and his lamenting wives, and Yamaraj came to them in the form of a small boy and instructed them to burn the body. Don't just cling on to it. The body's dead now. Okay, 1,000 ruble fine. Whose is it? Sure, so we can't find him. So Panchatattva Prabhu was saying that he was feeling strong in knowledge of the difference of the body and the self, but then when he got through to the 10th canto, then he kind of lost that. He was the stories of Krishna. Well, actually, it's a fact that the 10th canto is to be appreciated by persons who are fixed on the spiritual platform. And the preliminary knowledge that we are not the body, that is the preliminary knowledge to enter the spiritual platform. So is it premature for us to read the 10th canto if we're not fixed in that knowledge? Well, we want to know about Krishna also. Even without a full understanding, we should hear about Krishna, his wonderful, glorious, all-attractive pastimes. Two of the first books that Srila Prabhupada translated and published after coming to America were The Nectar of Devotion and Krishna Book. But at the same time, it's a fact that unless we are fixed in the basic understanding of the difference of the soul and the body, then we can never fully or properly understand Krishna's wonderful, all-attractive, glorious pastimes. So we should have a balanced approach. If we only discuss, we're not the body, we're not the body, we're not the body, and nothing about Krishna, then we'll be like impersonalists who don't know anything beyond that. But if we only discuss about Krishna's pastimes without putting them in the context or without understanding them within the context that they are a prakrita, they are not of this material energy, then we'll become sahajiyas. Recently I had the good fortune to meet and speak with His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. So as you maybe know, he's writing books about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So I told him I'd also like to write books like that, but I'm busy in the basement. There's a lot of work to do in the basement also, making the foundation strong. So that when we hear Krishna Leela, we won't misunderstand. Today's verse, or the verse we just read, that is discussing the mind which can be our friend or our enemy. If the mind is not trained, then even hearing Krishna Leela, that will act as our enemy. We'll misunderstand it, or some people may even blaspheme it. So practically we could say that Krishna is, the whole of Bhagavad Gita is addressing the condition of the mind. The function of the mind, of course there are multi-functions, but they can be categorized into two major categories. What are those two categories? Accepting and rejecting. Everything we see, touch, smell, feel, hear, or taste, that means the interaction of the senses with the sense objects, and the mind thinks, yes, this is very nice, I like it, or no, it's not nice, I'll avoid it, or run away from it, or try to smash it, or something like that. So in the materially conditioned state, we accept and reject things on the basis of whether we think it's good for our sense gratification or not. And on the spiritual platform, the truly spiritual platform, we accept and reject on the basis of whether it is pleasing to Krishna's sense gratification or not. Anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjanam. In bhakti, the first two principles of surrender are accepting everything favorable for Krishna's service and rejecting everything unfavorable. This is Vedic psychology. Recently, our friend who just passed away, shortly before he passed away, His Holiness Suhotra Swami released one book called Vedic Psychology. Now this question came up on Sunday in Kazan about devotees adopting alternative psychology. And my reply was, Chan Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Alright. My reply was to chant Hare Krishna. Everyone in this material, psychology means study of the workings of the mind. So I presumably the question is more like alternative psychiatry treatment. So everyone in this world is crazy, more or less. Pishachi paile jena matti channa hoy maya grasta jibe hoy shei bhavudoy. Every living being who is swallowed by Maya is like a crazy person in the Bizumsu. The term is given Pishachi Paile, ghostly haunted, you could say. So we say someone is normal and someone is crazy, but actually unless one is Krishna conscious, one is crazy. Of course, there are different degrees of craziness. And there are people who are normally crazy, and there are people who are crazily crazy. Someone who... just like sometimes you'll see a child, they beat their parents, and you know, just out of madness. That's ghostly haunted, actually. Then there are so many psychiatric conditions, depression is very common in the Western world. I mentioned this, I think, last year. It's so common a condition in America that one of the prime medicines for treating it, Prozac, it's a household word. Depression is such a common condition in America. Prozac is the name of the medicine. It's the name of the medicine, and it's the most common prescription, it seems, for depression. So everyone knows. If someone says, I'm on Prozac, it's just like saying, I'm drinking tea or something like that. And there are so many. Schizophrenia is common. Manic depression. Those who are interested in psychology, they may know what these terms mean. These are very common in the modern age. Especially in the more economically developed countries. I was saying in Kazan that psychiatric treatment, go in the garden, do some work in the garden. That's actually a recognized treatment I'll continue. In the Netherlands, which isn't a very big country, but it's a very densely populated and very materially developed, highly industrialized country. They have 500 centers for people to go and do gardening when they're suffering from too much anxiety and various other psychological disorders. Because they find that by coming in contact with the earth and growing plants, people's minds become free from anxiety, lessens the stress, and they become relieved of their condition. I just read this recently, and it made me think that in Bangladesh, I was there for quite a few years, and most days I'd be seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And I don't remember seeing anyone who you could call clinically insane, which you do see quite a lot in other places. There could be various reasons for that. One reason is that it would be difficult to find one atheist in the whole of that highly populated country. Another reason might be I was mostly traveling in the rural areas where people, there wasn't electricity or running water, and people lived in mud houses, and it's completely, the culture was completely almost like it might have been at the time of Lord Chaitanya. Now, again this question came up. Rohini Kumar Prabhu was asking again about different kinds of psychology or psychiatric treatment, because actually it is a major problem in the modern world, the mental disease. And even many of the physical diseases, they may be psychotomatic. Psychotomatic means that people feel sick, they go to the doctor, they have all kinds of tests, they find nothing wrong with them, but still they feel sick. It's just a mental condition, actually. So we find even people coming to devotional service, some are, crazy. And let's say, highly mentally disturbed. Let's not be too harsh. I shortly after I joined the temple in London, there was one devotee. He was a brahmachari, and he was just going on with life as usual. And then one day he just went crazy. I've seen that happen a few times. One devotee, he was hit by a bus. He was in an accident, and his whole mentality changed after that. He became He wasn't like that before, but he became very critical of devotees. But it was in a way that you could understand. It's just an effect of his damaged brain. No one blamed him for that. And apart from that, we see quite a lot of devotees, not that many, but they suffer from the depression or anxiety or something that could be considered a clinical condition. So what should we do in such circumstances? Should we resort to alternative psychiatry or any kind of psychiatry? Presumably by alternative psychiatry, you're referring to that which is what in Russia is called non-traditional medicine. And in the Western world, it's called traditional medicine. because conventional treatment is, it's very heavy. It's by, they use drugs or electric shock treatment. My mother was a mental patient. She spent about the last 15 years of her life in a mental institution. And at the time before she went, you know, she got to a point where she couldn't recognize anyone, and so it wasn't any use to visit her or any such thing. But there was a point where sometimes she could recognize me. So I used to go and visit her each week, and it was, she'd like be a different person each week compared to, they just give her different drugs. I think they were, seemingly they were just playing around, you know, just having, I don't know what they were doing, but they'd, she'd be in different, completely different mood, almost like a different personality each time. So, in general, there's throughout the world, there's a lot of discontent with conventional medicine, both for treatment of the body and for treatment of the mind. So in both areas, there's a lot of interest in alternative treatments. And even conventional medicine has adopted many things which a generation ago they scorned. They'll tell people to alter their diet, eat less red meat or something like this. Which a generation ago they would have scorned such advice. So they'll tell them to, and even a regular doctor may tell you to do some yoga or something like that. So the question, should we adopt this? Should devotees become interested in this? It seems that by we could maybe teach Ayurveda or yoga or different kinds of alternative treatments for the body and mind, and that with the that would be good for the devotees. We can help them, and it could also open up preaching fields to us. We can attract so many people on that basis, and gradually attract them to Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness means chanting Hare Krishna. So please chant Hare Krishna for a few minutes while I go and do some conventional treatment for a certain syndrome, a physical syndrome that I'm suffering from. So anyway, we can bring, in any manner that we can bring people to Krishna consciousness, that is very good. If by promoting Ayurveda or yoga or whatever, we can bring people to the point of surrendering to Krishna, we can gradually do that, very good. But it requires very expert guidance, because people who are coming for yoga or whatever, basically they're coming for some material thing. And even if we can get them to, we can get them to chant Hare Krishna, but the real test is if they understand that everything material is ultimately useless. To bring them from the point of being very interested in their physical and mental welfare to the point of understanding that ultimately the body is useless anyway, that all these things have no intrinsic value, it's like a complete turnaround. And the danger is there also that we bring people to a kind of mixed Krishna consciousness where they chant Hare Krishna, but they think still that bodily treatment or psychological treatment is very important. So that even our own devotees think that, you know, even though they might not be sick, they think they need all kinds of treatment. Another consideration is that the standard way of preaching Krishna consciousness still works. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method of chanting Hare Krishna, I mean directly preaching Krishna consciousness, it's still, there's still interest in that. You may think, well, if we organize a Hare Krishna festival, then a few people may come, but if we organize a seminar on how to become healthy and mentally strong, then many more people will come. If Hare Krishna festivals are well organized, in most of the world we can, you know, people will come. But even if less people come by having a straightforward, by having straightforward preaching, we can preach to them straightforwardly. Whereas by alternative preaching, you know, it's a long, you know, you have many people coming, but then you have to talk, practically you have to talk all nonsense, and then gradually you have to try to introduce sense, which is Krishna consciousness. So you have to consider, is it better to preach to a few people straightforwardly about Krishna consciousness, or preach to many people about something which has actually got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, with the hope that gradually some of them we might be able to speak to about Krishna consciousness. Of course, with a lot of our outgoing preaching, we don't present immediately everything, immediately. When we're distributing books, we don't tell people, surrender immediately to Krishna, stop eating meat, stop smoking, chant 16 rounds. Recently one of my disciples from India, he's from a Brahmin family, but he's now working in America. So he was distributing books in America, he was describing how he was distributing books and it was pouring with rain. So they were still selling books, but while people were getting their money, you'd have to hold their umbrella for them. And their cigarette and their hot dog or whatever. He said, I never touched such things in my life. There was some intoxication. But he's transcended the mundane brahminical platform to serve Krishna. So preaching means there may be some kind of, not exactly compromise in the sense that we change the philosophy, but we may present it indirectly. Just as an introduction. But there can be problems with that also. Just like I think many book distributors may have an experience like that. They tell, this is a book about yoga, or just as an example. And then people, they buy it and they come back and they say, oh, there's nothing about exercises or any such thing. You could try preaching by telling people about the glories of picking one's fingernails. And we get a lot of people coming, picking them. I'm going to have a seminar on the different, you know, introduction to picking your fingers for an expert.
What's wrong? I'm not sure.
Fingernail yoga. I can see the whole world in my fingernails. I'm meditating. Realization. Thank God. You never know. Could get a lot of people coming. You just have to convince them that they're not God. Yeah, but just like this. That question came also. Is it all right to present Rathiatra as a cultural festival? Yeah, because anyway there's going to be chanting and dancing and worshipping Jagannath. This is our culture. So it's easier maybe to present as something cultural, because if you say religious, people become suspicious. But then a problem might come later if you present it as something cultural, they may object later that, then why are you doing something religious? We thought it was just going to be some... Now I've expanded the discussion from alternative psychology to indirect methods of preaching and the pros and cons of alternative preaching. So my general take on this, or my take means my opinion, I guess you could say, is that, considered opinion, is that this alternative preaching can be utilized under expert, if there's expert devotee who's fully fixed in understanding Krishna consciousness. But that there may not be that much need anyway, because the straightforward method of chanting Hare Krishna and distributing books is having festivals, straightforward Hare Krishna festivals, etc., that's still good. And if people start to perceive our movement, or if even our own devotees start to perceive our movement as a movement which is about Ayurveda and yoga and alternative psychology and something about, what's that, Krishna or something, what's that? Also, then we lost our focus. Another point is that, if we have to mix up with, we may have to learn these things or mix up from people with a different outlook, if we hear from all these different yoga psychologists and this and that, they're mostly all impersonalists and they'll talk about universal love and all such balderdash. So that we may become reluctant to hear the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srimad Bhagavatam, which is unequivocal in establishing Krishna consciousness as the only real necessity of human society. Dharma svanushtita pungsa vishvaksena katasu yaha yodpadayad yadiratim shrama evahi kevalam. Who knows the translation of this? Important verse. Please say it. Do you want to give the mic? On the other hand, another verse from Bhagavatam, first canto. Idam hi pungsas tapasas shrutasya vasvishtasya suktasya chabunti datta yoho. Kaviruha chuto kavibhya nirupita yadutama shloka gunanavaranam. Anyone know the translation of this? This means that the perfection of all austerity, learning here, shruta means the Vedic learning the Shastra, religious practices, reciting prayers, and so on. Avichutta artha, everything should be for the sake of Krishna. So if all these things are done for the sake of Krishna, then that is the perfection of all these processes. So, Bhagavatam could be quoted to support any process which ultimately brings us to Krishna consciousness. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna nishivayat. Somehow or other, the mind should be brought to the process of Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other bring people to Krishna consciousness. This was Prabhupada's translation of this. Among alternative or indirect preaching processes, probably the best is this vegetarian cooking classes, because that's directly an activity of bhakti, to cook for Krishna. With yoga or medical treatment or something like that, you have to you interest people in one thing, and then you have to try to gradually tell them that, well, it's not actually very important and something else is important. Krishna consciousness is important. Whereas with vegetarian cooking classes, you can tell people, if people may be coming for health reasons or whatever, and you can tell them that what really makes it fully satisfying is that we do this for Krishna's pleasure. You can just take them directly from the vegetarian cooking to offering and taking prasad. Now, what was Srila Prabhupada's approach? Well, if people were crazy or devotees weren't crazy, he'd say that they should get treated. Mentally disturbed. But for people who are not like actually, really seriously mentally disturbed, he would say, take to Krishna consciousness. Join Hare Krishna. That's the best treatment. That's the ultimate treatment. Someone who's supposedly normal, but is not chanting Hare Krishna, is crazy. And someone who's mentally disturbed, but is somehow or other chanting Hare Krishna, is in actually a much better situation. And that will ultimately help them. They may not even have any understanding what they're doing, but that will ultimately help them to cross beyond all craziness. But I don't see that Prabhupada encouraged his disciples to get into all kinds of different, this treatment, that treatment, it's chanting Hare Krishna. One of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, or the prominent symptom, is that, what is that? Well, the mind is always disturbed, upadrutaha. I was saying in the more economically developed countries, they have serious problems with mental disease. There are various reasons for that. Why they're being, one reason is the breakdown of traditional social and familial structures. Then the promotion of lust, greed, and violence as the like the basis of the culture. The emphasis on sense gratification and promoting an aim of life which people, the vast majority of people, can't attain. They incite desires to be rich, to have big cars and so many things which most people can't attain, and they become frustrated. And then other reasons, there are so many other reasons. There's using electricity and computers, there are so many kinds of different subtle rays in the ether which affect the subtle body.
Mobile phones,
yeah. By wearing synthetic clothing and living in cement houses, all these things, they adversely affect the subtle body. Breathing in poison all the time from pollution. And then they put hormones in they inject the animals with hormones, so the milk you drink or the meat that people eat is full of hormones. In the big cities, they recycle the sewage water and it's full of all kinds of chemicals, and no one's really sure what kinds of things it does. All these unnatural chemicals, it imbalances your whole system. The food is full of all kinds of chemicals. People live unnatural lives. They stay up all night instead of sleeping at night. There's so many reasons that the people, they're working so hard. Long hours, stress. So there are so many factors which contribute to mental disorder, physical and mental disorder. So Srila Prabhupada's ultimate solution was revolutionary. Revolution means to go back to the original point. Srila Prabhupada recommended, go to the village, live on the land, produce your own food and chant Hare Krishna. Grow your own food and chant Hare Krishna. So, by growing your own food, living simply, living naturally, then automatically the mind and body become harmonious. And by chanting Hare Krishna, then that also, even physically and mentally, that's very helpful. What to speak of spiritually. Mm. So really, that's the ultimate solution. By suggesting that, by recommending this, that our devotees, they should live on the land and chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada was implying that there is no real solution in this crazy society that we're living in. As long as we're living in this insane society, we're all going to be affected. We see our own devotees also, we're also affected by this, the adverse effects of the city life. I mean, you can't avoid it. I know myself, a few days, if I do a few days continuous work on my laptop, then, mentally, I'm going crazy, actually. I may not show it, but I'm more crazy than usual. Maybe it does show also. So by understanding the process of Krishna consciousness, we can go on chanting Hare Krishna, but headache is there and mental somersaults are there. Somersault gymnastics. The mind is going. What's the Russian word for that? Unless and until we get these farm communities together, we can expect that devotees and non-devotees are going to be suffering mentally. We may therefore think to take recourse in various
psychiatric methodologies.
But the best psychology is study Prabhupada's books and chant Hare Krishna.
A lot more could be said about this. I know some devotees are very fervent supporters of what we call alternative preaching. I can take one or two questions about this, and then we'll distribute prasadam, and then we'll close up, because there's a seminar to be. Is it about this subject? That's, I'll go off now.
Is it proper if we tell people that in Srila Prabhupada's books you can find knowledge or information about different spheres of human life? Is it right or wrong? I mean, true knowledge about astrology, psychology, family relations, etc.
Well, if you get in the Bhagavatam set, that gives an overview of all human disciplines. But if we give them a perfection of yoga and tell them it's about astrology, then it's not correct, is it? It's probably better to tell them what the book's about. Can't wear them in the way that everyone else wears them around their neck.
Yes.
Then put a few more beads and make it proper. Add some more beads. And make... No, but I'm not going to answer them. Yeah, because I have to distribute prasad, which will take some time. Yeah, I understood. Krishna gives them.
In the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, first he spoke about the soul and religious duties, then about karma yoga, and only in the 18th chapter he asked Arjuna to surrender to him.
I'm supposed to. That's no question. Then. Okay, so say again in the mic in Russian. Yeah, well, Krishna spoke about bhakti, of course, before the 18th chapter. But he started off with a very clear spiritual knowledge, and everything else was developed on the basis of that. And we see that Srila Prabhupada also adopted that method. He mostly, in the beginning, when he met people, he spoke about, you're not the body. Well, one other point I wanted to make is that there are some devotees who could be considered, you know, crazy or almost, but who nevertheless do good service. One devotee expressed a doubt to me that when she was being initiated, she was sitting next to a person who was also being initiated at the same time, who appeared to be what could be called clinically crazy. And actually it's true that the Mataji she was talking about often exhibits some unusual behavior. But on the other hand, she has been coming to the temple daily for several years and doing very steady service. So she's been steady in chanting, steady in following the principles, steady in service, and she looks crazy, and a lot of the time she may act in somewhat unusual way, but she's, through all of that, she's serious about Krishna consciousness. I didn't initiate her very quickly, but on the other hand, why shouldn't she be initiated? You can get a few more beads and put them on, then it'll become loose. All right, Hare Krishna. Now I'm going to finish now, because otherwise the other seminars will become late.
Following are some more questions on alternative preaching.
If you desire to smash the dog of Kali Yuga, then sing. And what to sing, there's a list of names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's called Kali Yuga Pavana, the purifier of Kali Yuga. Kali Bhoya Nashana, the destroyer of the fear of Kali. Sri Satchinandana, the respectable son of, or darling son of Mother Sachi, giver of pleasures. He who chastised, I guess that would be. Gadadhar Pandit, who is the wealth of the life of Nittai, who is known as Gaura, which is another name for Gaura. It's a slightly different rendition. The Gaura who is most worshipped or highly worshipped by Advaita. He is known as Nimai, Vishvamba, who maintains the world. Srinivasa Isha, the master of Srinivasa. Srinivasa means Srivastha. Bhakta Samoha Chitta Chora, he who steals the heart of all the devotees. He is the moon of Nadia, the master of Mayapur, and the god or hero who establishes the holy name, preaches the holy name. He is the instructor of the householders and the leader of the whole class of renunciants. He is Madhav, the husband of goddess, of the goddess of fortune. And he is filled with the emotional feelings of Srimati Radharani. He is the corrector of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the uplifter of Prataparudra Maharaj, the one who nourishes Brahmananda Rai, and a great hero. He increases the pleasure of Rupa Goswami. He maintains Sanatan Goswami. He is the delight of Haridas Thakur and very sober. Sober means in this sense grave, peaceful, yeah, and steady. He's always experiencing the mellows of Vrindavan. He annihilates the corrupted opinions, misconceptions. Oh, and Kapati, I was saying Kapati, it's Kapati. He is the, again, the destroyer or killer of duplicity, hypocrisy. And he is the transcendental Cupid. He is the maintainer of the pure devotees. He delivers from dry speculative knowledge. Yeah, he delivers whoever is to be delivered. He is the deliverer. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, here, no, tar is taram, not tarana. It means the chastiser of dry speculative knowledge. He is the, again, it's another word which means destroys or false devotion. And he is Rama, which means Ramante Yogino Nante Satyananda. He is pure bliss. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Gyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatah Parikamalam Shri Guru Navaishyavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Gitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Vrijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam. Please move in as more devotees will be coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Well, this is supposed to be a questions and answers session. But I've already received some questions. And instead of trying to answer many questions, at least at first, I'm going to try to deal with a few in some more detail. Those that seem to be of topical importance to many devotees. Topical points. Well, one thing, please return these song sheets now. Pass them. In fact, the morning class was also in response to some questions. And then after the class, some other points
came up, some devotees were discussing, so I'd like to make some more points on this point of alternative preaching. One point is that, well, many devotees are householders and they have to do something to maintain their families. So if they teach yoga or do some Ayurvedic treatment or whatever, there's no objection to that. It might be even a recommended way for devotees to make a living if they're able to do that. Better than, you know, driving a bus or something like that. Although, if, you know, there's nothing wrong with driving a bus. If you have to do something, you have to do something to maintain your family. This afternoon's fashion. Although again, Prabhupada's coming to the point of occupation, Prabhupada said that agriculture is the most noble profession. Now one point of concern about what is called alternative preaching is that we should always remember that it is an alternative. If it becomes the preaching, if there's no focus on book distribution, Harinam, and holding festivals and what preaching is, then it's not an alternative, then it becomes the preaching. All these things, they will be successful if they bring people to the point of going on Harinam, distributing Prabhupada's books, holding Rath Yatra festivals and so on. And actually, if no one in ISKCON ever preached through yoga or Ayurveda or any such thing, it wouldn't really matter that much. Or psychology or whatever. It's the real Hare Krishna. I mean, the basis of the Hare Krishna movement is chanting, dancing, distributing Prabhupada's books, distributing prasadam. But sometimes you find that devotees, they become so attached to these indirect methods, they're actually against the direct methods. They think that it's essential that we hide that we're devotees. And they actually become upset if devotees, even in preaching, they say anything about Krishna, speak straightforward Bhagavad Gita philosophy. And they tell, don't ever tell anyone to follow any regulated principles. Just everything should be very soft and very mild. Then practically you became a non-devotee. If you tell people, don't speak about Krishna and don't speak Bhagavad Gita and don't speak about regulated principles, then what's the point of your so-called preaching? So that's why I was saying that these alternative methods, they can be done if it's done under the direction of a very expert preacher. Expert means he's expert in changing them from the nonsense, which, you know, ultimately yoga, Ayurveda, all these things, if there's no relationship to Krishna, it's of itself, it's just nonsense, that's all. So if you can bring people to the point of understanding that this is nonsense and the only goal of life is Krishna, then that is an expert preacher. But if you become more absorbed in yoga, Ayurveda, Vastu, psychology, gems, and all this kind of thing, than in Bhagavad Gita, then you're in Maya, that's all. And at least those who are doing this, the basic work of this movement, we don't have that many book distributors and devotees going out on Harinam, they shouldn't be discouraged from doing that. They should let the straightforward preaching go on, and then if anyone else, if they don't have the strength to do that, or somehow they're inclined to do something else, at least they shouldn't try to hijack others. Just pull it, just slightly, because I'm going to take some. So you can get some water, I'll wash my hand.
Sure.
Okay. Then get some water for washing my hands. What other points were there? Oh yeah, some other question had come up. This is a common one. Another point altogether. Another common point. When we're at the festival, we feel so much inspiration. Then we go home and we're very enthusiastic for some time and the enthusiasm goes down. Yeah. There's only
myself and my family, and you know, and we don't have it so much association, and we tend to lose enthusiasm. Which devotees are in a situation where they're living at home with their family, or maybe alone, and they're a long way from any temple or regular association? Please raise your hand. Quite a few. So what are your suggestions? Let's hear a few, so you can pass around the mic and hear a few suggestions how to keep enthusiastic.
Dogs enthusiastic.
Want to say something? Give him the mic. Oh, I thought he wanted to say something. Doesn't anyone have any suggestions? Well, you can learn from the dog. If the dog's enthusiastic about barking, why can't we even be enthusiastic about chanting Hare Krishna? Anyone has any suggestions? Anyone?
Предложение есть у кого-то на этот счет?
Give the mic. Well, that's the point that we're talking about. You see, you don't have much association if you're in that situation. You can associate with them by thinking about them. That's one way of associating. Telephone association. Well, that's why we have a sadhana program. It's something that we're supposed to follow. Whether we want to or not, we make it like a duty in our life to follow that. Shri Gurvashtakam etaduchai brahme mahurte patati prayatna tameva vrindavana nata sarakshat sevaiva labhya janashonta eva. This means that anyone or whoever recites Gurvashtakam, which means the Samsara Dava Analalita Loka. So, whoever recites this regularly, loudly, carefully during Brahma Muhurta, at the end of life attains direct service to Vrindavana Natha, Krishna in Vrindavana. If we can remember that, then we'll always be enthusiastic to rise early and chant Gurvashtaka. One thing is, we can make a festival at home every day. It takes more effort, but if we sing nicely and dance, even there's no one there, you can dance, even one person can dance. And gradually we'll find that enthusiasm will be there. And if we do this daily, then if for some reason or other, due to, you know, maybe sickness or whatever, we miss rising early, chanting Gurvashtaka, then we feel terrible, like, you know, like you didn't brush your teeth or something in the morning. Isn't it? It's nice to rise early in the morning. It's a wonderful way to start the day, isn't it? Who feels like that, at least to some extent, that it's very nice to rise early, chant? Yeah, I feel like that. So it's a challenge if we don't have so much association. It's a challenge to push ourselves. But there's extra mercy to be had by doing so. If you don't have much association, then you can go and distribute Prabhupada's books in your neighborhood, and quite possibly Krishna will arrange people for you to preach to, and they can become devotees also. These are some suggestions. I suggest that Rohini Kumar Prabhu could discuss this in his seminar on Nam Hata, because it is a situation which many devotees are facing. You like to do that? All right, so please attend this seminar on Nam Hata, and then maybe you could have some interaction, you could discuss with yourselves what are the problems you are facing, and you can have more suggestions how to overcome them. Where's your letter? Did you? Oh, I must have left it in the room. Or did I bring it? Okay, go get it. One question, what is happiness, and can we attain absolute happiness? Well, happiness is one of those abstract nouns that everyone understands what it means, but it's difficult to define very clearly. But we can say that real happiness is absolute happiness. For the jiva, that happiness means the experience or the experience of well-being that arises out of full surrender to Krishna. And happiness in this material existence is the perverted reflection of that, in which one perceives happiness or misconceives happiness as that which arises from my own sense gratification. So can we achieve absolute happiness? Of course. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. There is no other way to actually be happy. That is absolute happiness. Okay, now here's... I'll try and summarize this. It's quite a long letter here. Is that quite often we see people become enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness and they come up and they come up to the level of initiation and they get initiated. Then sometime after getting initiated, their enthusiasm goes down and they stop chanting 16 rounds. Or they find that it's very difficult to do so due to their family, domestic situation. Sometimes they come to a festival and get inspired and then they go away and they become, again, they lose their enthusiasm. What to do about this whole syndrome? Well, Srila Prabhupada recognized that not everyone is going to come up to the level of 16 rounds. Oh, one devotee, another devotee was suggesting that we make the initiation standard less, maybe 4 rounds or something like that. Well, you can get 4-round initiation. You can even get no round initiation. And, you know, there are some Gauriya gurus who come to Russia and different parts of the world and, you know, they'll just... To be seen by them is to be initiated by them. They don't check very much to see, but they just, you want to get initiated? Okay. I mean, obviously the initiation without any commitment or very low commitment is not of the same value as that with high commitment. We can't change the initiation standards which have been given to us by Prabhupada. It's out of the question. You know, some so-called devotees nowadays say that to follow 4 regulated principles is fanaticism. But we have to remain committed to the ideal. You know, we can say make it easy, but you know, it's easy to stay in the material world. It's also easy to cheat people and just say, well, you take initiation from me and you don't have to follow anything and just by my mercy, you'll become full of Krishna prema. But the actual fact is that without surrender, without commitment, then how we, you know, where is the question of spiritual advancement? So we can't change the initiation standard, but we should, you know, if we want to be initiated, that means we should be very serious. It means commitment to follow throughout life and life after life, forever. That's why in ISKCON we don't give initiation very quickly or very easily. But one point is that after having made that commitment, one has to stick to it. You may say, well, there's this problem and that problem, but it's a serious commitment. There may come a point when due to sickness you can't chant 16 rounds. The last time I saw our godbrother, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, the last time I saw him before he passed away, he'd been sick for many months. He told me, I haven't chanted 16 rounds for many months. Of course, that was, he was always surrounded by devotees and hearing about Krishna. And after a life of dedication to following the process of Krishna consciousness and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. But, you know, if we take initiation, it is a very serious commitment. And that's why once having taken that commitment, one should stick to it.
Yeah, I was saying Srila Prabhupada recognized that not everyone is fit to be initiated. Therefore, he spoke of Varnashram. That if people, they can't chant 16, you know, they can means, you know, they're so spiritually dull that they can't chant 16 rounds, then at least they can work for Krishna and join in the kirtan and take prasadam. And another point of these farm communities is that people come, all the produce is to be offered to Krishna. So people who, they're inclined somewhat to be devotees, but they're not very strong spiritually, they can work for Krishna, and the result of their work will be offered to Krishna. Then they don't have to be initiated. They have to become further advanced to become initiated. But at the same time, you can't say that the standard of someone who is practicing very seriously and the standard of someone else who is not practicing seriously is all the same. And we should beware of that association of devotees, even their supposedly senior devotees, who try to discourage us from practicing seriously. Sorry to say, but there are so-called senior devotees who they'll tell you, no, don't practice very seriously. They'll say, be practical, don't be fanatical. Yeah, they have a very practical program for pretending to be a devotee and remaining within the material world. So if anyone discourages you from practicing seriously, you should know that he's your enemy, even if he's posing as your well-wisher. Now, of course, people are at different levels. So if someone's coming newly, we may encourage them, all right, you'd start to chant one or two rounds. We might not, in every case, push them to immediately do everything. And it's true, we shouldn't be fanatical in the sense that if we think if we become very proud, I'm following, others aren't following, and if we become arrogant and harsh towards others, that's also not good. And another thing is that, you know, we should also be, if we ourselves are able to practice in a more strict way, there also has to be accommodation for other devotees who are not practicing in a very strict way. The best thing is that everyone follows seriously, then these questions won't arise. But it is difficult when you don't have much association and you have so many domestic responsibilities. And I congratulate those devotees who, under difficult circumstances, are carrying on with their spiritual lives in Krishna consciousness. I request, maintain the ideal. Even if our practices or our may slip somewhat, keep the ideal in mind always. Our ideal is to become fully absorbed in love of Krishna. So we should know very clearly that anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya bhajanam. We should perform activities which are conducive to developing love of Krishna, and we should avoid that which is not. And another thing is that we should know that the practice of Krishna consciousness given to us by Srila Prabhupada follows all the acharyas and all the shastras and is perfect. So we don't have to, or we shouldn't think of adjusting that in any way. Read Prabhupada's books regularly. That will help everyone very much. Another thing with this alternative preaching, I think I already said that, is that, you know, to be a teacher of anything, you have to study it a lot and keep up on all the latest news and developments. So the tendency is that whatever we concentrate on, our mindset becomes like that. So we might start thinking, it's more important for me to do this yoga early in the morning than to chant my rounds early in the morning. All right, so questions are there. Someone was asking about Purushottam month. Purushottam month is, Purushottam means Krishna. Yeah, well, I can just say in brief. Purushottam means Krishna. This is Krishna's month. This is an extra month which, it's a lunar, the Vedic calendar is solar cum lunar. So
So this is intercalary month, which is inserted every 3 years to keep the lunar calendar in sync with the solar calendar. So this is called Malamas, or contaminated month, because in this month no one should do auspicious activities like performing marriages, starting businesses, etc. So according to the, in the Puranas there's a story that the personality of the, of this extra month, Adhik Mas, went to Krishna and tearfully complained that, I'm so condemned. Condemned. I'm so inauspicious. So then Krishna said, okay, I'll make you my month. I'll give you my name. And just like, Kartik comes every year, that is Radharani's month. So every 3 years there comes Purushottam Mas, Krishna's month. And extra benefit accrues to devotees who make efforts to please Krishna in this month. So generally devotees, they accept some extra austerities, do extra chanting and services. So if you like, you can do, and that will be very nice. Well, if a devotee is fully dedicated to Krishna's service, then everything he does becomes devotional service. But if you're living close to a temple, that would be more appreciable devotional service if you could offer at least some of the vegetables for cooking for the Lord in the temple. If you think, well, I'm worshipping Krishna at home, so I'll make my home very gorgeous for Krishna. And I'll cook all the best foods for Krishna. And then I'll also enjoy the prasadam. But if the motive is actually in the name of devotional service to enjoy one's own senses, then that's cheating. So if you're worshipping Krishna at home, that's alright, but still one should offer to the temple, which is meant for public worship. Well, there is a rule that one's not supposed to offer obeisances in a contaminated state. Practically everyone's in a contaminated state all the time. According to Vedic standard, if you have an attached bathroom, then everything's contaminated all the time. Anyway, you can chant mentally if you like. Prayers.
Offer prayers.
Yeah. For a higher purpose, you can cheat. If your parents don't want you to chant Hare Krishna, then they're cheating you. Worldly morality and Krishna consciousness don't always coalesce. Sanatana Goswami bribed the jail keeper so he could get out of prison. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently cheated his wife by leaving her to take sannyas. Don't any of you do that. You're not eligible for that. But the example is there, the precedent is there. If necessary for a higher cause, then you should do that. Well, Srila Prabhupada always stressed that devotees should rise early in the morning, isn't it? So better that we follow that. I would say that better than having late night kirtans is everyone come together for early morning kirtan. I'm not very fond of these festivals where no one's in, hardly, you know, 10 people are in Mangalarti because they all took rest late. Better you take rest early and get up in time for Mangalarti. No, Krishna is not envious of anyone. But envy is the perversion of love. In the pure state, the jiva loves Krishna and loves every other living being. In the impure state, the jiva envies Krishna and envies every other living being also. Even the so-called love for others is actually a manifestation of envy if it's not centered on love of Krishna. When a young man says to a young woman, I love you, he's expressing his envy toward her. Because what he actually means to, if you state what actually is in his heart, it means I want to exploit you. And she also wants to exploit him in the name of loving. So it is a perverted reflection of love of Krishna. Now, what could be considered envy in Krishna, although it's not, it's
it might seem like that, is that Krishna kills so many demons. He becomes angry at them. He wants to kill them, and he does kill them. But the end result of that is that they are benefited. And Krishna's anger at the demons is because the demons are envious of his devotees. So Krishna's apparent envy is actually based on his love for his devotees. And he loves the demons also because they get liberated by being killed by him and freed from all their sinful reactions. Whereas the envy in the material world is simply inauspicious for everyone, for he who envies and he who is envied. Real bhakti is that which is performed for Krishna's pleasure. Chala bhakti or bhakti abhaya or bhakti abhash or bhakti prai. These are means that it's mixed with material desires. A show of bhakti. It means one makes he shows as if he's doing it for Krishna's pleasure, but actually has some hidden motive. That's chala bhakti, or you're cheating in the name of bhakti. Bhakti abhas means when one's motive is not bhakti, it's sense gratification, but somehow or other he does something conducive for bhakti. Just like we find in the Puranas that it's related, Prahlad Maharaj in a previous life due to some circumstance, he had just happened to spend all night fasting, awake, in a Nrsimha temple, even though he had no idea, it was just due to some quarrel with his girlfriend. And it was on Nrsimha Chaturdashi, so he got the benefit of bhakti to Nrsimhadev. So that was just, you could say, good luck. But if one fasts on Nrsimha Chaturdashi and makes a big festival, that may appear like to be directly bhakti. But if one is doing it to impress others that one is a great devotee, it could be even that you see, like in India, some devotees, they do bhakti very nicely for a few years, and then they find a temple president from America to sponsor them to do service in a temple in America. Then they go to America and do some service in the temple for some time, and as soon as they're eligible for a green card, they leave the temple and they go out and they get a job and they're happy. They start earning money. So they're doing service very nicely. And you can't say that it's wholly non-devotional, but their main motive is material advancement. Well, this was started approximately 1973 by Tamal Krishna Goswami in Bombay. Prabhupada would come back every day from his morning walk and have the deity greeting. He'd greet the deities and then give class. Then one day Tamal Krishna Maharaj arranged for Guru for doing the arati for Prabhupada. Then they did it every day, and it became a standard all over the world in front of the deities. When one devotee asked Prabhupada about this, that it states in Shastra one shouldn't worship anyone in front of the deity, but we worship you, Prabhupada replied, dilemma. Whatever the sense, that was his reply. Dilemma, yeah. Whatever way you want to pronounce it. So it's something that Srila Prabhupada instituted, which as a great devotee he may do something unusual like that. It's unusual, you might say, but we all are very happy to worship Srila Prabhupada every day like this. Actually, Prabhupada would take darshan, and then the darshan would, he would just take darshan, then he'd take charanamrita, then he'd go sit, and then they'd start the Guru Puja. It wasn't that they had the deity greeting was actually very short. Well, Shastra is meant for intelligent people. It's not that every single instant has to be covered. Basic common sense and culture is also required. That you'll get a full list in the Nectar of Devotion, 64 items. Do's and do-nots, vidhi nisheda. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma Samhita, who can think of Brahma Samhita? Does it say? Ramadi Murati Shukala Niyamena Tishtanna Anavatara Maharodha.
Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Kintu means but. And there are many different forms of the Lord who appear in the world. But Krishna Swayam, Krishna is the original. Then also Govindam Adi Purusham. Adi Purusham means the original form of the Supreme Lord. Then Dipachireva Hidashantaram Abhupetya. Also, that's another verse from Brahma Samhita which states that. Then Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. I am the source of everything. Matak Parataram Nanyat. There is nothing greater than me, Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shows the universal form, then the four-armed form, then Arjuna asks him to revert to his original form. Two hands. In Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe it's chapter 2, either chapter 1 or chapter 2, this point is discussed in detail. It should be in standard language. Okay, ask. I'll give an answer. Poftarit Hare Krishna. That's the answer. You may think, well, no, I have to, you know, study, I have to do some cosmic emancipation, hang upside down for 25 years, meditating on my anus or something like that. The answer is Chan Hari Krishna. That's the real answer. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
You are all self-realized. We should understand, I am Krishna's. When the sense of surrender to Krishna becomes so strong that one can think of nothing but Krishna, then one captures Krishna by love and one thinks Krishna is mine. All the devotees in Vrindavan are, their service is to see Radha and Krishna happy together. But everyone also has their own personal relationship with Krishna. So during that Ras Leela, the sense of being that I am with Krishna, that becomes prominent. Krishna is mine and there is only me and Krishna. So that is a special flavor that of course, all the gopis together, they don't satisfy Krishna without Radharani. So Krishna's the real Raja Bhava, we were just reading. Raja Rasa Bhavana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is he who always relishes the mellows of Vrindavan. That is centered on Radha and Krishna. On Radha, it's high topics, no doubt. Not to be understood by intelligence or logic alone. We should try to at least have some conception of the totally pure nature of that love, that we are to serve that love. We are to serve the devotees who are so exalted in love of Krishna. Well, it doesn't have to be opposing. Hopefully it can be complementary, the nature. Yeah. Basic practices of Krishna consciousness are the same for everyone. Hearing and Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Ityadi, etc. There are different duties according to different people's psychophysical makeups and abilities. Traditionally, men are pujaris in temples and women they can worship at home, but men are the pujaris in the temples. Because the men, that means they have to spend a lot of time with the deity, and the women have to spend a lot of time with children who are, you know, their children are always dirty.